Set Free Ministry team and its international ministry partners welcomes you to another edition of The Journey. Whether working in some little jungle village in South Asia or the mean city streets in South America, the Set Free team faithfully brings the message of Jesus to those in need, building churches, training pastors, working with international leaders, and securing our religious freedoms. Set Free touches others for Jesus. Whether using old-fashioned evangelistic crusades or even the newer mediums of television and the internet, we bring the message of the kingdom of heaven to those around us. And now our hosts, Dr. Dale and Terry Climie.
How many of you remember 2K? Y2K, all right? The world was going to come to an end because none of the electronics that controlled our national grid were updated to deal with switching over to the year 2000, and it was being prophesied that there was going to be widespread panic and armed gangs roaming the streets and all that good stuff. And we had a decision in the church to make, okay, what do we do to get ready for something that may happen? And it may not happen. And so what we did in our church is I told everybody, look, let's just go ahead and make sure you have extra water, because it's kind of hard to get along without water. Make sure you have about a week's supply of water. Make sure that you have some things that you can eat without electricity, because we may lose our electricity. Make sure that you have lots of canned goods and that you have a manually operated can opener. Because it's kind of rough if you got an electric can opener and no electricity. You'd be in rough shape, wouldn't you? And so everybody in the church prepared, didn't buy anything we didn't need to buy. Anything that we bought would be used up, eventually anyhow. And what happened on January 1st of the year 2000?
Nothing.
Absolutely nothing. Absolutely nothing. And so we went through all of this preparation and nothing happened. Yes, sir.
All that good preparation for a hurricane.
Uh-huh.
The season was over.
Exactly. Exactly. So, yeah, we do the same thing for getting ready for hurricanes down here in the South that we would have done for Y2K. And so, we did the preparation, nothing happened, and so we went on with life. All right, and then we get notification that a big storm is coming, like a Hurricane Ike or one of those big hurricanes, and so we make our preparations, and then what happens? You always find out that no matter how much you do prepare, there's always some little thing that you've overlooked. But that's all right, because you're better prepared to deal with the inconveniences that, destruction, inclement weather and all that bring. You're better prepared to deal with it than folks that didn't do any preparation. Amen. And so, the whole idea, especially when you live in areas that are prone to natural disasters, is you need to be prepared. In emergency services, we practice several times a year for some great disaster to happen. We work real hard to be prepared, and then we pray real hard that it never happens. And so it's important for us to be prepared, but we pray that God will never put us through the situation where we need to take advantage of these things that we practice for. But as I've mentioned earlier, that on our Advent wreath, we have lit the second candle, which represents the Bethlehem candle, or the candle of preparation. And, as God's people, we need to be a prepared people. We need to be prepared. There's a lot of things that we need to be prepared for. We need to be prepared. The Bible tells us, be ready, be prepared to give an answer for that hope that you have. So we need to be prepared on a daily basis to answer people about the questions that they may have about the Lord. We must be prepared to deal with temptation. Amen? You know, when you're being faced with temptation, that's not the time to think about, now that I'm faced with this quandary here, how do you think I should respond? I mean, we must have already decided in our heart of hearts that, no, when this comes along, I am going to flee the very appearance of evil. And so we need to be prepared to deal with the temptations that life brings us. How about dealing with just the stuff that life brings? We deal with sickness. We deal with pain. We deal with people being hospitalized. We deal with people dying. And these are simply the facts of life. And we need to be prepared to deal with things. And that's why the Apostle Paul says that we don't grieve like the heathen grieve. We don't grieve like those that don't know Jesus grieve, because we have a hope. And so if we have this hope, then we are prepared. And so today we're going to be talking about preparation. If you have your Bibles, let's turn to Luke chapter 3. We're still in Job, by the way. We haven't forgot our friend Job. We're going to get over there in just a second. But in Luke chapter 3, verses 4 through 6, Luke is relating to us what John the Baptist was saying. As it is written in the book of Isaiah the prophet, "The voice of one crying in the wilderness, make ready the way of the Lord, make his paths straight. Every ravine shall be filled up, every mountain and hill shall be brought low, and the crooked shall become straight, and the rough road smooth, and all flesh shall see the salvation of God." Amen. Why? Because God's people were prepared. And so Isaiah was admonishing the believing remnant, get ready, make the way straight for Jesus to come, for Messiah to come, so that everybody can see him. Well, Jesus came and Jesus went, and he's not been back yet. And so how is the world going to see Jesus today? In and through us. Exactly. I mean, this prophecy doesn't go away simply because Jesus rose from the dead and ascended into heaven, and now all God's people say, well, all right, I'm off the hook there. I don't have to worry about all flesh. They'll see the salvation of God. Don't have to worry about that because Jesus isn't here. He's coming back. Then they'll see him, when in fact the reason that we're here is for all flesh to see the salvation of God. Amen. And so as we're going through our study of Job, let me just go ahead and read Job chapter 29, beginning of verse 21. Job here is talking about how he lived his life and the effect that his life had on those around him. And he said in verse 21, "To me they listened and waited, and they kept silent for my counsel. And after my words they did not speak again, and my speech dropped on them. They waited for me as the rain, and they opened their mouth for the spring rain. And I smiled on them when they did not believe, and the light of my face they did not cast down." And so what Job is relating to his friends is that he lived a life where he was prepared to share the revelations of God, to share the will of God with anybody who would come to him. And one of the things that I found out is that if you want somebody to listen to you, you have to have some sort of credentials. All right? I mean, somebody could stand up let's say some kind of a bum came in here. A hobo, let's call it a hobo for the sake of my granddaughters. And he was all unshaven and unkept, and he stands up here and he's kind of drunk, and so he's unsteady on his feet, and he says, "Yes, I found the cure for cancer." What would you be thinking? Okay, let's just escort this guy back out the door and make sure that people lock the door after them so this kind of person doesn't come in. But if a man were to come in here wearing a white lab coat with a stethoscope around his neck and say, my fellow physicians and I, after years and years of study and research, we've discovered a cure for cancer, then what would you do? You know, you'd probably say, all right, this guy is believable. This guy is acceptable. He looks the part. He sounds the part. He's what we would expect to see. And in the same way, Job is saying, I lived the part. I lived the life so that when people had problems, they were willing to come to me and listen to me. He says, they waited in line to listen to what Job had to say to them. Man, I can't get my grandkids to just slow down for a second to say please or thank you. But, you know, here Job was saying people would come to him and they would wait in line. And they kept silent for my counsel. Shh, he's talking. He's talking. Don't be moving around. Don't be talking. And Job's talking up here. They kept silent for my counsel. And after my words, they didn't speak again. After Job told them what God's will might be and the instruction for their lives, they didn't question. Amen. It's kind of fun counseling a teenager. It's kind of like herding cats. It's difficult to counsel a teenager because every time you give them some instruction, they come back with, why? How do you know that's going to work? You know, some adults are like that. All right, but pardon me, why? Why do you say that? Pastor, why are you saying that? All right, and what Job was saying, after I spoke, they didn't even speak again. Okay, here's the answer. He said, and my speech dropped on them. They walked away saying, oh, look, these words that Job has given us, oh, they're just so wonderful. And they waited for me. It was, the words that I had to say were like a refreshing rain. And they would just sit there and enjoy the blessing of receiving my words. And then in the last part, I like this, he said, and I smiled on them when they didn't believe. Because you not everybody's going to receive what you have to say. And Job, he didn't say, well, I just doubled up on them and tried to convince them all the more. He says, no, if they didn't want to receive what I had to say, I just smiled on them. That's okay. And the light of my face, they did not cast down. They couldn't get away from the fact that I was still smiling, that I was still trying to share with them the love of God, and at least they could accept that. And what I wanted us to see from these two passages of scriptures this morning is that the Word of God is telling us that we have to live a prepared life. It's too late to prepare when the wind is blowing your house down. When the electricity goes out is not the time to say, I wonder who has a sale on generators. When you go to your cupboards and all of the baked beans and the little Vienna sausages and whatever, whenever they're all gone, that's not the time to say maybe we should bundle up against this hurricane and try going to Brookshire Brothers and buy us some food. Because I have news for you, the cupboards are bare. At Brookshire Brothers. And so what the Word of God is telling us this morning is that we have to be living a prepared life. And of course, we've talked about prepared against adversity, preparedness about, you know, inclement weather preparedness, you know, whatever. But the main thing is, how about being prepared to live life? Amen. How about being prepared to live a life for Jesus? And you know, it's really unfortunate because, you know, the schools do not teach the students how to live life. And unfortunately, a lot of the churches don't teach the students us how to live life. We'll have some philosophies, we'll have some ideas, but we're not really taught What does it mean to walk a Christian lifestyle? What does it mean to live life? And preparedness means that when something happens, we already know what to do. If somebody has taken CPR and suddenly somebody falls down, you know, gasping for air and gripping their chest, then preparedness means that somebody has already taken the CPR class and they know how to administer CPR. Amen? Preparedness means that when pastor forgets that this is the second Sunday and it's the Sunday for the missions offering and I'm ready to get on with the message, somebody says, Pastor, we have a second offering that we're supposed to take this morning. All right. Preparedness is already doing what needs to be done so that when you're called upon, you're ready to do it. Now, I've told you the story before how when Terry and I were the youth pastors up at Tom Trumbull's church and up in Michigan. And we were having vacation Bible school. And the whole emphasis of the vacation Bible school is, "Thy word have I hid in my heart that I may not sin against thee." That's a really nice verse, but what does it mean? It means to have actually taking the time and putting the effort into memorizing God's word. Because when you need God's Word for some encouragement, that is not the time to have to go thumbing through your Bible or get out your smartphone and pull up your King James Bible, you know, electronic version and try to find that verse. You need to have already hidden that Word away in your heart. And so all week long, the little kids in vacation Bible school were memorizing Scripture. And then on the last day, as I related, we had some of the security guards from the seminary come in dressed like Russian soldiers that took up all the Bibles and put them in a big feed bag and took the pastor Terry wanted me to remind y'all, the KGB officer in charge who walked in with I'm trying to figure out what kind of an accent it was. It was supposed to be a Russian accent, but it was Dad Ross. Okay. Because nobody at the church knew him. They were going to a different church. And so he had his fedora pulled down and he had a trench coat on and he had his hands in his pockets and he walked in and he's announced that we have taken over the United States of America. And there will be no more Bibles in the United States. Man, collect up all the Bibles. And so these little kids are sitting there, oh my goodness, what's going on here? And so they grab the pastor and they drag him out the door. And all the kids are just sitting there. You know, what are we going to do? And I said, oh no, you know, we've been learning all week that, you know, we're supposed to be memorizing God's Word. And now they've taken all of our Bibles. Let's try to remember our Bible verses. And, you know, these kids are in a state of shock, you know. What's our Bible verse? I got phone calls from mothers for 2 or 3 weeks after that. They were so upset about that. Anyhow, you know, the time when the Bibles are all taken up is not the time to decide, you know, I need to start memorizing the Word of God. And so the message of the second Advent candle, the message that Job is saying is we need to be living a prepared life. He said, my life was lived so that when people came to me for an answer, they could come to me. I was the one because they saw how I lived my life. And as we read in the opening verses of Job, he was not somebody who was just a Sunday morning Christian, but he was in church every day, his own personal church, offering up sacrifices for his children every day. He took his relationship with God very, very seriously. And I'm just wondering how many believers today take their relationship as serious. And if we did, are the people around us going to know this is the one I can come to? When you're preparing your tree or you're over at your children's or grandchildren's house and we're celebrating the Christmas, What are you going to do when the kids say, what does the tree mean? Okay, how many of you know that Christmas trees are not mentioned in the Bible? Well, not there. Just a tradition of man. But to mean it represents the eternal life that Jesus Christ gives. Amen? To be ready to give that answer. And so we've had our whole lives to prepare. Sometimes we have just done our preparation by saying, I hope it doesn't happen to me. And just stick our head in the sand and hope that the storms of life pass us by. But for most of us, we haven't had the luxury of being able to stick our heads in the sand. And we've had to deal with the storms of life. And you can look at those storms and say, oh, these were terrible things that I've gone through. Or you can look at these past terrible things that you've experienced and say, this is God preparing me for right now. I am prepared right now to deal with whatever may come along, but to especially share the love of God with those around me. Amen? Amen. And isn't that what Christmas is? I asked it last Sunday, I'll ask it today, and I'll probably ask it the next two Sundays. Isn't that what Christmas is? God's greatest gift. The giving of His Son. Amen? Father God.
Morning comes, another day. Time doesn't wait, it doesn't stay. You have a choice you must make. How will you face it all? Life just winds like a mountain road. Sometimes yes and sometimes no. Good or bad, nobody knows. Will you choose to stand or fall? Just when you choose to take it on, the waves stop and the sea goes calm. You lie down to rest your mind. Here comes the rain. Yeah, welcome to the journey.